Good morning. My name is Paul Silverstein, Senior Analyst at Cowen and Company, and I want to thank all of you for joining us this morning. It's my pleasure to have with us Dr. David Sheridan, Chief Scientist and Co-founder, and Mansoor Karam, CEO and Co-founder of Apstra. Every now and then, I write about private companies that I think are particularly relevant in terms of having the opportunity to make a meaningful impact on the networking industry. We wrote about Apstra a couple of months ago, and this is a follow-up. And I do think this is a very exciting company that has the potential to have a significant impact on the industry and to become a much larger company. They've come out of stealth mode only recently and just started shipping. And with that, I know you didn't come here to listen to me, so I want to ask David and Mansoor some questions. And we're going to open this up at the end. I'm going to leave plenty of time for you all in the audience to ask questions. But for the first 30 minutes or so, we're going to do a fireside chat format before I open it up. And so with that said, why don't we start off, David and Mansoor, with tell us about Apstra. What's the challenge you're trying to address? How do customers address that today prior to your arrival on the scene? Why now, and where are you in terms of product availability?
Excellent. Well, first of all, we're very excited to be here. Thank you, Paul. Well, with Apstra, the challenge we're addressing is really to bring agility to the network. So we, as Apstra, are delivering the self-operating network. The same way the car industry is delivering the self-driving car, we're delivering similar capabilities for data center networks. To me, it's fascinating that we're in 2016, and while in the last two decades we've seen tremendous improvements in feeds and speeds in the network, we've seen that the network has become even more critical and more fundamental in this cloud-native age, we're still stuck in the operational model from the 1990s, essentially box-to-box, CLI-driven. And so what we've recognized as in Apstra is that in the last few years there has been a confluence of trends that really allowed us to really change the game drastically and to finally deliver on technology that will allow us to automate comprehensively data center networks so that they become more agile, so that private clouds have the capabilities in terms of agility that you can get with the public cloud. And so that is essentially what we are building as an Apstra. So in terms of those trends, right, one is that if you look at where we were 5 years ago, there wasn't too much competition on in networking. And because of that, you had systems that were mostly vertically integrated, delivered by single vendors. Fast forward a few years, and you see that the competition has increased tremendously. Of course, we've seen companies like Arista, go public. We've seen, new commodity offerings being delivered in the market, white box, of the open compute project by Facebook. And we've seen, customers, starting with the cloud customers, really put in new requirements and be very forceful about these requirements with the vendors in terms of delivering on APIs, delivering access to telemetry, so that they can build, infrastructures in a more, horizontally architected, loosely coupled, using APIs, and so that they can get more visibility into their infrastructures through telemetry. And so, finally, because of that, now we have this, an environment, an ecosystem that allows us to deliver on comprehensive automation. And we at Arista recognized that 2 years ago, and we started Apstra. And 2 years in, in terms of where we are, we've launched the company in June. Our product, the Apstra operating system, in its 1.0 version, was delivered in July, 1 month after we came out of stealth. And as we speak, we're delivering on our 1.1 product, which is delivering on new use cases in the data centers and adding many more capabilities as compared to 1.0. So we're open for business. We're working with customers. We're revenue generating. We're working on projects, multi-year projects with our customers. 2017 is going to be a very exciting year for us. with working with those customers and delivering on their use cases.
So, Monsieur David, as I understand it, you all address squarely this issue that is top of mind throughout the investment community in terms of the challenge presented for all traditional technology companies, certainly hardware companies, networking, storage, compute, in terms of the shift of workloads or the perceived shift of workloads, the ongoing shift to public cloud. And I think what I heard you say, Monsieur, is that you all enable private clouds to achieve, to a certain extent, the agility and the elasticity that we identify with public clouds. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That in the transportation industry, if we carry that analogy forward, if you don't want to spend your time with your hands on the wheel manually steering a car and your eyes on the road, you can take public transportation just like you can move to the public cloud, and we're basically delivering the self-driving equivalent so you can have your own private cloud and get the same efficiencies. I actually think that what we're enabling is a new trend. There's been this trend towards the public cloud, and I think this is a triumph of PR that people say Jeff Bezos' cloud is the public cloud. I think that what we're enabling is we're providing software that's equivalent, if not better, than what Amazon has, to say you can run your own cloud with the same efficiencies that he can.
So David, you've had a lot of success, to say the least, in the past. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but among other accomplishments, you were a co-founder of Arista, a co-founder of Granite, which a lot of folks may not realize, but Cisco bought for a boatload of money. I think it was over $600 million many years ago. And Kalia, which Sun acquired, as well as being an initial investor in Google and in VMware. So you've seen some things. In Monsieur, you too have had quite a fine track record. Why Apstra? Why this team? David, given that you're an expert in distributed systems, is that particularly relevant here? And why is this a hard problem to address?
Well, I think, to me, this is just an outsized opportunity from industry transformation, that this is not a new problem. People have characterized this that the vendors sell boxes, but the customers run networks. And it's kind of like, the vendors sell bricks, but the customer wants to live in a house. And there's been this huge gap for a long time. And, what I saw was the opportunity, finally, of a bunch of factors coming together to make it possible to actually build the type of software required to essentially have an operating system that operates, self-drives your network. And it required a lot of factors to come together, and those factors really only came together in the last year or two. And this is, I would say, an emerging trend. So I think this is a transformational point in the industry of having these 20 years of people wanting to do something like this, and finally it's become possible. Now, there's been other companies that have attempted things in this direction before and failed, and I think they underestimate the difficulty of this problem. And the first piece of this is that you need to have this software, what we refer to as a distributed operating system, that is a system that operates your network. It has to be distributed across your data center, because you can't have single points of failure if it's running the thing. And you need to be collecting data to what we call telemetry to know what's going on all over the place. So there's the aspect of technical problems of running this across the network, or dealing with faults that can occur, collecting data at very high rates and making sense of that, and taking auto remediation actions. So there's a lot of complexity in the software. And I've spent 35 years at Stanford in the research efforts understanding how to build distributed systems. So from a technology standpoint, this was, I view, kind of the opportunity of a lifetime to put that background to work and solve this hard technical problem. I'm very excited about where we're at and having that under control.
And David, maybe for the benefit of the audience, when you talk about a network-wide operating system as opposed to, I trust, an operating system that is tied to a platform or a box, maybe you could contrast Apstra's approach, your network-wide approach, to what's being done today by traditional networking vendors. And do you take away from the opportunity for the existing suppliers to enhance the opportunity, or is it some of both?
No, I think that we're actually creating an opportunity because you find that there's lots of customers that feel they're locked into a particular vendor or locked into a particular way of doing things, and we enable these customers to choose best of breed for what they want. So you find vendors suddenly find an opportunity in a customer they didn't have before because our software is multi-vendor, and in fact, we have very good relationships with the switch vendors at this point for exactly that reason. And also, sometimes the switch vendors have trouble getting customers to adopt new features that they deploy, and of course, when Apstra supports a new feature, it becomes much, much easier for them to deploy that in their network. So I think there's a bunch of factors of this nature that make it are really beneficial to the conventional switch vendors.
I know it's very early that you've just started shipping, but are there any examples you can cite, whether named or not, in terms of the decision process that Fortune 500 is going through, in terms of you coming to the table and perhaps changing the equation or changing the analysis of whether or how much to shift to public cloud as opposed to keeping in-house or in a private cloud?
Yeah, so certainly. So what we've seen is that when we engage with customers, they get very excited. Because in terms of the options that they had before, you have to think of public clouds for them as kind of a last resort, right? They're unable to deliver on the agility that's required for the business services, and as a result, they are considering the public clouds. They know what they need to do in terms of they need the agility. They know what their requirements are. They need multi-vendor networks in order to essentially to be able to leverage the competition that exists there, and they need to deliver on this agility, but the technology was lacking. And so when we talk to them and we show them our product, they get extremely excited. They realize the opportunity, they realize the possibilities of that, and they engage with us, right? And so I think that's kind of what we have with what we have seen. We've seen tremendous excitement from customers, when we show them the product, which leads to this engagement.
Mansoor, are the hyperscale folks, including in particular the public cloud players, Google and AWS and Azure, are they looking at your solution as well? Or to the extent you actually allow private clouds, that elasticity and agility offered by those public cloud providers, is it an either or are they also looking at the platform?
Yeah, we know these folks well. I think that when it comes to the hyper clouds, they've invested over the last 10 years tremendous resources to build automation solutions for themselves. For them, it was a critical requirement, and they had the resources to do it. And so when we talk to them about it, it's more like we were of the same mind, right? And we think of them as partners in the effort, right? But I wouldn't look at them as delivering as using our technology, let's say next year. I think that there is the layer below in terms of everybody else, right? They have the same requirements. They have, they're suffering from the same pain points, but they don't have the same, resources that, these hyperscales have. And these are the customers that, work with us to adopt our solutions. Just in terms of, an example of, a partnership with a hyperscale. We made an announcement with Facebook as part of their OCP ecosystem. We're supporting their latest, offering with the new switch that they have delivered a couple of months ago. You can see the blog on our website and the announcement on the Facebook website.
Again, I recognize it's very early, but are you going to market with any of the current switching suppliers, Cisco, Arista, Juniper, or is it a totally separate sale?
Yeah, well, certainly when we are, at our customers, we're working with their teams, right? Because ultimately, we're part of the ecosystem. As part of being vendor agnostic, we try and kind of follow the customer leads in what choice of vendor they want to choose or what choice of vendors they want to choose. And from our perspective, we support the hardware vendors that our customers require.
I think it's very important that we remain very vendor neutral, and so I think we're kind of trying to be the Switzerland of networking, if you like, that we're happy to work with switch vendors, but we're not ever going to partner directly as being under the wing of one of these guys.
David, to be clear, if I think of your last effort as one of the co-founders of Arista, folks speak to Arista and Cisco and Juniper, et cetera. They're not going to hear those companies think of you as a threat. They're going to think of you as a potential enhancer of the opportunity, or as a neutral factor as opposed to a threat to their businesses.
Well, if I could come back to this concern about public cloud, clearly all the switch vendors are concerned about how many customers are just going to pack it in, so to speak, and hand over their IT to what you're calling the public cloud. And so every customer that says, gee, with Apstra I can hang on to this, they still need the switches, so they're a customer for Arista or they're a customer for Cisco. So I think that all of these switch vendors see us as net positive to the degree that I'm right, that this sort of effort could reverse the trend and say people don't want to go take the bus and take public transportation. They can use a self-driving network and run with the same efficiency as Jeff Bezos does. Then all of these conventional vendors are going to benefit. So I think we're welcome.
Right. And David, to be
a net positive.
To be clear for the benefit of those on the call, you don't make a switch. You make an operating system that operates at a network level, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and when we work with in conjunction with the box operating systems, right, with the device operating systems, and just to be clear, right, we don't replace that either. Right, we sit on top. We're software that sits on top of the hardware, and we work with the network operating system on those devices, right, in conjunction with to deliver on this, experience, on this self-driving experience.
I think if this is useful, I think there's an analogy one could draw with Microsoft in the good old days of the Wintel, where you say, you look at, the original IBM PC was pretty limited, and there was all these different parties providing devices that you could plug into it, but nobody was going to use those unless there was an operating system that provided drivers for them and just allowed the user to turn it on and start using the devices. And that's what Microsoft delivered, was an operating system that plugged all these devices together. And essentially, we're just saying, well, the data center network is a bunch of devices, and some of them are made by vendor X and some are made by vendor Y, and maybe there's another guy Z you want to try out, and our operating system says, go ahead, plug it in, it'll work.
And remind us, you've now been open for business in terms of commercial availability. When was the first ship date?
July of 2016.
All right, so I recognize we're only talking about a handful of months, but what's been the initial reaction from customers?
Yeah, again, tremendous excitement, tremendous interest. Customers are resonating with the problem. we're seeing, actually, to me, what was really exciting to watch is that, you know, the interest is global, right? We have opportunities, you know, on the West Coast, on the East Coast. We have opportunities in Europe, in London. We have opportunities in Japan, in Australia, in China, right? And, you know, all of these are ongoing right now. So, I can't be more excited about, you know, the interest that we've gotten. For us, it's about execution, and, you know, 2017 is going to be, you know, a very exciting year for us.
And, Mansoor, the customers you're speaking to date, are those Fortune 500 customers typically?
Yeah, absolutely. They're large customers.
Okay. Any particular verticals, or is it really all over the place?
We're addressing automation for the data center network. So anyone with a data center network can, you know, leverage our technology. Now, we are, you know, at this stage working with what we consider as typical early adopters, right? So it will be SaaS companies, large banks, you know, advanced enterprises, service providers, those types of large organizations. You know, those have, you know, the resources and the capabilities to work with a company at our stage.
Okay. And I recognize we spoke about this earlier in the conversation, but just to be clear, if they didn't have the option of going with your solution, putting aside whether they do go forward, but if they didn't have that option, what would those customers be doing? Would they simply be shifting more workloads to the public cloud?
Yeah, that's certainly one thing they would be considering, a lot more seriously. Some of these companies, they've talked to us, they're talking to us, and they got really excited because they have attempted to build something themselves out of, you know, the tools that currently exist. I mean, there are tools out there. You know, to me, the analogy is like giving them a bag of Legos and saying, well, you go and try and build something. And, ultimately, if the integration effort is really extremely difficult, and they recognize that after trying it for a few years and not spending it, you know, putting a few resources on it, and so they come in with the understanding that this is a very difficult problem. So those companies that are working with us are aware of first the need and the requirement for this agility and how difficult it is for them to try and build it from scratch.
Okay. I want to open it up to the audience if anybody has questions. But before I do, I don't know if I introduced at the beginning. I apologize if I omitted. But we also have Marie Minetta-Clapp, who I suspect many of the folks on the call already know. Marie is head of marketing at Apstra. And if any of you all want to follow up after the call at some point with the company directly, Marie's the right person to speak to. And with that, James, why don't we see if there are any questions? I've got more questions if others don't.
Thank you, Mr. Silverstein. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And once again, press *1 if you have a question. And we have a question from Fadad Najam.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. So, Mansoor, what's your revenue model? How is your product sold? Is it based on ELA licenses per core? Can you help us understand your revenue model?
Yeah, certainly. The baseline for our pricing is a subscription model, right? So we're software, and, you know, we have a new release of every few months with the new capabilities, and essentially it's an all inclusive. You get the capabilities, you know, the 24/7 support, you know, as long as you are subscribed to our software.
I was wondering if you could tell, like, the number of devices that are being managed. Is that how it's the subscription model?
Sure. I mean, so we have different models, and again, because we're in the early days, we're still in the process of working with our customers and, you know, in a sense, you know, experimenting. And, you know, we also understand that, in terms of, you know, a CapEx model versus an OPEX model. Every customer, you know, has a different, I'd say, preferences, and, you know, we're flexible from that perspective. But, you know, in terms of the baseline, again, I think that, you know, when you think of a network service, a network service is really about, you know, connecting servers or, you know, or sockets, right? And so CPU sockets. And so ultimately, you know, the larger your infrastructure in terms of number of servers, number of sockets, the higher, you know, the value of the service, right? And so for that reason, you see a lot of pricing, you know, for us and for other software be based on just, you know, the size of your infrastructure in terms of number of servers or sockets.
Got it. And just one other question, and this may be a more broader question in terms of the opportunity that you are seeing. Do you see an opportunity in terms of giving the customers the ability? I realize that a lot of customers that are operating private clouds have, you know, hypervisor software, be it from VMware or, you know, open source based solutions. Do you think there is an opportunity there as well in terms of managing those ELA licenses? A lot of them are based on, you know, per core or how many cores that you're using. And, you know, in terms of optimizing those core utilization so that you can optimize the ELA licenses, do you see that as an opportunity, and is that something you're addressing?
Right. So just first of all, to address virtualized environments, certainly today, even as part of our 1.0, we delivered, you know, a automation of container networking. So, you know, one of the earlier use cases that customers were really interested in was really delivering on container networking. So if you have a pod with containers, you know, we'll take care of, you know, your networking end-to-end, right, A to Z. And certainly, you know, we're going to expand on that, right, to other virtualized environments. And as part of our technology, we have capabilities on the server, right? So an agent that sits on the server that has capabilities. Right? Then certainly we will expand on these capabilities. Now we do have a roadmap, you know, and you will see, you know, a lot of announcements from us, you know, next year in terms of you know, the other capabilities and the use cases that we will be supporting. You know, the one that you specifically mentioned, you know, this is certainly an interesting one, you know, not one that we were, you know, right now planning on tackling, but certainly as we work with our customers, we will follow their lead in terms of what they think is interesting.
And do you think there is an interest in the customers? Are they asking for this, or is it nobody's paying attention to how their ELA licenses are being utilized?
I mean, We haven't, so I haven't heard of that specific, you know, problem. But, you know, not that we wouldn't as we engage further and deeper with those customers.
Thank you.
Sure.
At this time, there are no questions in the queue. However, as a reminder, press *1 if you do have a question.
Hey, Mansoor, how many employees does AstroNow have, and can you talk about the backgrounds in terms of where they hail from and the different skill sets that you've brought into the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So as David mentioned, you know, the problem we're solving is hard. The barrier of entry is high, and one of the things I'm the most excited about is the talent, you know, the level of talent we've brought into this company. In terms of specific skill sets, it's really we're building a full stack solution, and so various skills are critical. You know, all the way from, I think, distributed systems expertise, as David mentioned, certainly networking expertise, and really bringing in network engineers and software engineers together has been a really, you know, fun experience, and certainly also, you know, automation expertise, you know, abstractions, right? So, you know, we didn't talk about it, but, you know, the whole intent-driven model that we have in our system is really critical to really delivering on this self-driving experience, and so we have a lot of, you know, expertise there in terms of, you know, intent and policy and abstractions and automation. you know, another thing I'll mention is that, you know, it's one thing that really, you know, excites me every day is the passion that we see in our team. Everyone, you know, this is a problem that's been there and that, you know, we have found that so many people just passionate about solving this problem. And, you know, I would describe us as a team of very capable, passionate people. I don't know, David, if you want to add anything there.
Well, Mansoor, I think you neglected to mention one of our co-founders, Sasha Ratkovic, who's another PhD in networking, who spent, 20 years at Juniper Fellow, and left a very lofty position there because he's been aware and worked on this problem for years and saw this as an opportunity to transform the industry. So, you know, we have people of that caliber founding the company, and you know, then we've had people that are coming from various parts of the networking industry, including Arista and Cisco and other besides Juniper that have years of experience in networking, and we have people that have extensive experience in operating networks as well. And I think one of the difficulties, the problem is that this high-level conceptual realization of distributed systems, but I think the other part is the devil is in the details. You know, having people that know what it really takes to run a real network is critical, and we have those people on board.
David, this may be an unfair question, but as someone who's had phenomenal success in looking into the future in being a founder or co-founder of a number of companies that address future technology trends, you know, where is Apstra the most ambitious effort? I recognize, obviously, it's your latest effort, but could you compare and contrast it to previous efforts?
Well, I think let me compare it to Arista a little bit. In some ways, I shouldn't say this, but I think Arista was insane. You know, we basically said, well, there's this merchant silicon, so you can buy the same chips that Cisco has, more or less. We just have to build a competitor to their software, but, you know, we're starting off competing with this highly dominant switch vendor with 30 million lines of code that's been there for developed over 30 years. So, I look back, I'm amazed that we succeeded, but, and it wasn't just me, it was a lot of great people that succeeded in producing something that was highly competitive, but, so that, I think, was in some ways more challenging, except that there we're producing switch router that's a known quantity. So it was easier from that standpoint. People just had to say, we've got apples, or these better apples, and sometimes had to get past some of the other lock-in factors there. But so that, I thought, was easier. Here, this is a bit of a new thing. This is the self-driving car sort of analogy where, you have the network is absolutely critical infrastructure for almost every company, every company we're talking to, and probably almost every sizable company in the known universe. And so when we ask them, you know, to say, use our software and you can take your hands off the wheel, it's pretty frightening. And so there's a different challenge there. But I think in terms of the aspect of having to play catch up with a major network vendor, I think it's easier because it's really hard for us to identify anybody that's providing anything that's really competitive with what we're doing. Kind of new market and less competition versus, you know, with Arista, absolutely terrifying competition and a frightening sort of catch up path we had to pull off.
Let me ask you both, and I recognize this is a thread throughout the conversation, but to the extent there's a view, I think a widely held view in the investment community, that the network has become a commodity, or if it's not a commodity already, it's fast becoming a commodity, you would argue?
Well, I think that you have to look at the overall network. That is, you know, the way I look at it is, if if a company has got performance problems somewhere in their application, a lot of them come down to having to understand what's going on in the network. And at that point, it's not, you know, buy another tomato like the other tomato you got in the commodity sense like that. It's your business is on the line at that point. So I don't think the network is commoditized. I think you could say, well, down at sort of switch chip level, these little ASICs inside of these boxes and so on, perhaps that's becoming commoditized. But the problem has become absolutely life critical. So to me, the network is essentially like your nervous system that, you know, you have a sore leg, that's one thing. If you have a problem with your nervous system, you're in deep trouble. And so we're addressing that big issue. So to me, you could say different components could become cheaper, but the overall problem has become life critical in effect. So I think it's become more and more top of mind for people. And what we encounter is companies that say, you know, we're under pressure to cut costs, we're under pressure to improve agility, and we're under pressure, extreme pressure, to never have a problem because everything is riding on the network. You know, a server can fail, we replace it. You know, a disk can fail, we replace it. The network feels slightly bad. VPs are on the line screaming at me. That's not commodity. That's not a commodity problem.
Right. So, yeah, I would agree with everything David said. And I think that, to me, I would not use the word commodity. I would just say that there is a very healthy trend towards, you know, more choice, right, in terms of hardware options, right, which really, you know, benefits the industry, you know, that's been accelerating and that, you know, we've seen more than, you know, say 5 years ago. You know, partly because, you know, some of these components are standardizing in terms of the ASICs and, you know, the components David mentioned.
Right. I
think that's one of, you know, when we talk to customers and, you know, when we talk to industry analysts, usually I would say 75% of customers out there have recognized the need for, you know, vendor-agnostic solutions. They want an ability to, you know, leverage these choices to have, you know, to bring in new options, best of breed options into their data centers. I think this is really exciting for switch vendors because there is an opportunity to really insert oneself. And certainly from our perspective, it made the vendor agnostic, you know, requirement a critical one, right, that we've taken into account in building our solution.
Right. James, are there any other questions in the queue?
There are no questions at this time.
Right. So with that, David and Mansoor, I greatly appreciate you all coming on. Is there any, you know, do you want to do a wrap-up of what you want listeners to take away from the call today?
Yeah, I mean, well, again, thanks everyone for your time. And I think in terms of takeaways, you know, I would say, well, first, you know, the automated, you know, self-driving network is happening today, right? You know, technology is available today, and you know, we're open for business, right? And we're working with customers and engaging, you know, in a very exciting way. So that's number one. You know, number two, I would say that, you know, back to your public versus private, you know, thread. You know, I think it's, you know, it is urgent that companies do not surrender, you know, to someone else's cloud. You know, and this is something that, you know, requires, you know, a careful look. And, you know, there are technologies out there like ours that really can help them in avoiding that. You know, and certainly the capabilities that we are offering, you know, are available to everyone. You know, and you know, we do understand that not everybody has the capabilities of the hypercloud, but you know, we're making this technology available today. Right? It's going to be a very exciting 2017, and you know, we look forward to our customer engagement and to making our customers successful.
Let me add, I think, you know, maybe this is a higher level view, but I think one should look at Apstra as part of a very broad trend going on in a variety of industries, which is to make transformational steps in terms of automation. And look at, we've used this transportation analogy that Uber came in and automated a tremendous amount of what used to be done by manual operations in the taxi service. And, you know, the thing is that we're used to sort of improvements in various industries that improve things by 10% or 20%. But I think what we're looking here is orders of magnitude improvement in efficiency, agility, and functionality. And I think just like, you know, we've seen that companies that don't adopt to and adapt to automation in these other domains can't survive because they're just so far behind their competition. I think there's an urgency that we're seeing in the networking industry to adapt. And we're just not as sexy as an Uber. We're not in front of people in the same way as an Uber. We're hidden inside the data center, but I think the effect is going to be the same. We're part of a major, major automation trend that's taking place now.
Well, I greatly appreciate you all coming on the call today and all the clients. There will be a replay available for those of you if you missed any of the call. And, again, if you want to follow up with Apstra directly, Marie Minetta Clapp, I can get you her contact information. And, once again, thank all of you, wishing you all a wonderful weekend and a happy and healthy New Year. Happy holidays.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
That does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.